Hey everyone, welcome back to the Cast of the Week Consultants, where we teach future Survivor players how to play the game by criticizing current players. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Stacey. Today we are talking about episode 11 of Survivor 45, This Game Rips Your Heart Out. I'm joined by two people who don't usually rip my heart out, Derek Kubicek and Josh Wessler. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty well. There's a lot of fun things to talk about tonight that we need to get into the spoiler section for, but one fun thing that I wanted to bring up, I swear I heard little samples of music from all kinds of things tonight. I swear I heard a little bit of Interstellar, a little bit of Men in Black, and a little bit of like Requiem for a Dream. Just little inspirations, almost. These scores inspired the soundtrack this episode. So I don't know if anyone else noticed that the background music was a little different tonight, but that's the smallest takeaway, the world's smallest takeaway for me.
I did not notice any of that, but I guess it makes sense because it kind of felt like, you know, a movie here.
This was a pretty epic episode.
This episode was amazing. Like, it had everything. It had strategy. It had emotion.
Yeah.
It had tension. It had potential blindsides, mystery, everything.
The 90-minute episode really shined tonight. Loved this episode.
Well, and it makes a lot of sense because we've always said that advantages and idol structure and the final four fire making rewinds the potential climax to seven. But without getting into spoilers, I think we might actually get a different climax now. I think it might be in the finale. We'll see, but I'm very excited.
A lot going on tonight. So spoiler alert for this episode, go watch it. 3, 2, 1. Rip Emily. Big loss tonight. One of the biggest characters of the season.
Big threat to win the game.
Big threat to win the game. I would say probably I thought the person who was the biggest threat to win. Not anymore. She's done. big loss. But what a great character, Emily.
Yeah. Ultimately, it's a big move, big player to get out of the game, even if they're just starting to switch on, you know, realizing that she might be a threat to win the game. You kind of saw it throughout the episode, and we hadn't really seen a whole lot, at least from the players' perspectives, of recognizing that quite yet. So, big player out, and while I'm sad to see her go, I am okay with it just because I think that this is going to make the rest of the season a lot more interesting.
Yeah,
because
I have no idea who's going to win anymore.
If we would have had the opposite result and someone like Julie or even like a D goes home, I would have, you know, bet a lot of money that Emily could definitely be the winner of the season.
This felt like make or break for Emily, and it turns out to be break. Game rips your heart out. let's jump into the episode.
Nothing else to do.
So, we get back to camp. Everyone is very hyped that Bruce is gone, and I feel really bad for Bruce having to watch this on the watching this back. Like, ooh, poor Bruce.
And we have to remember, maybe everyone is just really trying to placate Keturah, or was he really bringing it down? Because we did see him give that pep talk to Jake, so we got to see that he has that softer. Bruce seems like a good guy, but everyone was a little too happy. Ryan, as our resident memory correspondent when it comes to Survivor, have you ever seen people go back to camp and be so hyped?
I can think of one that we don't really want to talk about.
Fair enough. How about anywhere it's like everyone is generally innocent?
Yeah, because the one I was thinking of when Sue Hawk quit the game in All Stars, people were a little too happy about that. Has not aged well.
Maybe Russell.
Yeah,
there weren't like shouting like there were today, but everyone was like, oh my gosh, we can breathe, yeah, and like this is just so much nicer here.
This felt like a celebration where like when Russell got voted out, it was more like a high fives all around. Like, we did it. This was like a party.
It was a brouhaha. So
a brouhaha. And while all the revels and merriment are happening, Emily is going to reveal that Bruce targeted Julie. Emily's going to reveal why, and then she convinced basically Bruce to try and blindside Julie. And everybody's like, oh my god, Emily, you're so good at this game. Maybe we should take you out.
Oh my gosh, Emily, you're so good at this game. Oh my gosh, Emily, you're so good at this game.
Emily, that's something you reveal at Final Trouble Council.
Yeah, we were saying last episode, or at least I was, that I didn't really care about the move just because it's like, eh, it's Bruce, like, what does it actually matter? And I think if she would have left it for Final Tribal Council, I don't think it would have had much of an impact if that's when she revealed it, just because, you know, we're quite a ways away from that still. But that doesn't mean that the alternative is just to reveal all the information now. I would rather have this mean absolutely nothing if I'm Emily, rather than be the reason that I'm voted out.
Start the downfall.
And I want to talk about Bruce for one more second, and the Bruce and Emily of it all. Last week we said, who is it good for that Bruce got sent home? And we said, Reba. Three of Reba, specifically.
Three of Reba.
I feel like we have just been completely validated in our assessment of that situation.
I posted my blog on Reddit the other week, and someone came after me for not giving Emily enough props. I feel vindicated.
It's almost like we have very thoughtful, in-depth conversations. Everyone's allowed to have their opinions, but I think anyone doubling down too hard, especially on Reddit, got to relax a little bit sometimes.
So Reba is going to make a Final Four deal. It's definitely going to last. But more importantly, it's showmance time. Austin D have a bit of a showmance happening. We get some flashbacks to Rob and Amber, which they couldn't resist.
Oh, God, no.
But Austin and D are going to make a Final Three deal. They're not going to vote each other out. They're going to take each other to the end. Cute. Stupid.
Two parts. One, you accidentally just quoted the greatest movie of all time. Wow, couldn't resist. This is Twister. All reminder for listeners who don't agree with us. You're wrong.
Our Twister opinion is the greatest movie of all time.
But also, I spent probably 3 minutes afterward trying to think of their couple name. Because, it, you know, with Franny and Matt, it, you know, it's Frat or it's Manny.
Destin.
I came with Audi.
That's no. I don't like Audi. Like I, yeah, I guess. Wait,
you don't pronounce his name Austin.
Fine, Audi.
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 But spelt like Audi.
No, you spell it A-U-D-E-E. Audi. Either way, I ship.
Yeah, totally adorable.
If they're happy, I'm happy. Don't do this.
Yeah, not great.
And they know this.
They're both like, this is dumb. But still. Next up, we're going to get Keturah's backstory finally. Everyone gets a backstory, big flashbacks and reveals and stuff like that. Everyone gets one.
I can't believe we have to sit through another one of these, and oh my, whoa.
We get probably the most shocking backstory possibly ever on Survivor. Keturah is a cult survivor. When she was a kid, her parents pulled her out of school and joined a cult. When she was 14, she was nearly married off to the cult leader, and that scared the mom enough to leave the cult. She missed years of school, had to re-enter in high school, and holy bleep.
Somehow figured it out.
And became a lawyer. And she's got a great line. She's like, you know, I got to high school, and, you know, all brand new. I realized I was poor, black, a woman, and gay. Just set up for success on every front.
What could possibly go wrong?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, up until high school, you could throw uneducated up into there, too. If anyone ever deserved to become a lawyer from all their hard work and to succeed economically, it's the cult survivor, black, poor woman.
Gay woman.
Gay woman, yeah. And I say all of that with the utmost respect.
Yeah.
I still don't like lawyers on Survivor.
You know, I think, like, all of Keturah's flaws in this game are now much more understandable and forgivable. It's because, like, oh my god, you went through so much. Yeah, no, this was, wow.
It just kept on going, yeah. Too. It's just like, oh my gosh, like, that's a really interesting backstory. Oh my god, oh my god.
I'm not a therapist, a psychotherapist, or a psychologist, but I have to think that her hyperfixation on Bruce has something to do with past trauma. I maybe not.
It's not 0%.
Maybe not, but it's just, I have no words.
This was wild.
And you know, part of me hopes, as long as the cult leader's not dangerous, that he was watching this like, oh crap, now everyone knows about the cult.
Well, here's the thing. That's, cult leaders are always dangerous.
You're right.
Cults are bad, everybody.
Cults are bad.
Just not someone who's going to come looking for revenge, I guess.
Cults are bad.
Cults are bad. Rule 34, 36.
Yeah, that's the main takeaway tonight. Cults are bad.
Cults are bad.
So yeah, just absolutely wild. A boat's going to arrive. Someone's got to go on a journey. Anyone who wants to go, if more than one person wants to go, they got to draw rocks for it. And everyone wants to go, which I think is fair at this point in the game. You want control over whatever that situation is.
Yeah, and even if you don't want to go, you don't want to be like the one person who sits out of a rock draw. That almost draws more attention to you.
I don't even think that's true. I think if you really don't want to go and you have a good reason, then it's fine. But you should want to go. Like, I can't think of a reason to not go at this point. Just to make sure, like, somebody else doesn't get something.
And I disagree, but only for one person. I think Keturah needs to go. I think Jake needs to go. I think Drew needs to go. I don't think any of the other four should want to, but maybe they want to prevent someone from going. I do think Emily should have sat out. And I'm not just talking about in hindsight. I'm saying she's been straddling the middle. Now Reba has the numbers. The last thing that you need is a potential target on your back of what's in her pocket. So I'm not trying to say this because she went and it ended up kind of blowing up in her face a little bit, but I don't think Emily should have gone. I think she should have sat out.
I disagree. I think Emily should have gone. And I'll take it a step further because she's going to get there. And it is the savvy task from episode one, that the puzzle that no one could solve. And she's offered like, hey, you can solve this puzzle. And if you do, you win immunity. You're safe for this episode. Fail, you lose your vote. Emily's going to decline to participate. And I think she should have gone for it. At this point in the game, I think you got to go for it. I think her potentially having immunity is more important than her vote at this point. So I think she made the wrong call on not playing.
I think that she may have had information from earlier in the season when the rest of her original tribe had done this challenge. And she saw that that's what it was and kind of evaluated it from the outside because she knew what the task was and can see everything right there in front of her. And I think that she just knew that she wasn't going to be able to figure it out.
Yeah, I'm gonna use Ryan logic against Ryan here for a second. When we talk about the, you know, are you going to step out for food instead of competing for immunity? Ryan often says, if you're just looking at the challenge and you know you can't do it, just sit out, take the reward. In this case, she can look at that. And by the way, she's looking at the same 3-minute hourglass that she failed on earlier with like the math. So you got what, 3 minutes to figure this out? She probably looked at that and said, you know what? I don't think I'm in that much trouble, but I want to at least have my vote on a 7-person tribe.
Especially if you can get one Reba to flip.
Right.
You need that extra vote.
Exactly. So it becomes less insurmountable or easier to surmount. So I think that she made the right choice given that she ended up on the island.
So Julie and Drew, they're going to talk about how Emily is kind of a jury threat, but Drew is more worried about Julie. He wants Julie out. Julie's got the idol still. It's revealed that so Austin had the idol, which is good to the final five, and the amulet advantage, which is good to the final six. He gave Julie the idol, which is more powerful. Whoops.
Ooh.
And never asked for it back.
I understand why you don't ask for it back, but and I understand that it was a very fast-moving time when he gave it to her in the first place, but man, you got to pay attention to that. If you are going to give her one of the idols, have it be the weaker one.
Austin's falling apart a little bit, I feel like. Austin has a bad episode.
Yeah.
He's got some decolored glasses on.
Yes.
And from Drew's perspective here, it's hard for a toss-up because he wants to stay aligned with Emily, but, you know, Emily probably beats him in the end.
Yep.
So, and I get his reasoning, but, you know, out of everyone, he might actually be in the best position to want to take someone out from Reba just because he's, you know, fourth.
He's fourth in Reba.
So he has the most to gain, at least, from taking someone like Julie out. He also needs to have Emily out, but, you know, order of operations, maybe a Reba for his position should go first.
There was a shot in the episode. It was Keturah, Jake, and Drew sitting down and talking about what they need to do. In my list of my dank down, those are my bottom three. So I'm looking at them going, hey, you gonna do something? Because Jake and Drew just had bad blood. So good for Drew to extend the olive branch. Good for Jake to accept it. Good on all parties here. They just need one. And I do think that Drew should want to flip on Reba before Emily, if for no other reason than Julie has been a pretty big threat in immunity challenges up to this point. And by all accounts, according to this episode, she's the best at making fire. So
plus, everyone likes her. Plus, she has an idol.
Yes. So if you're going to do that, turn on your alliance now, prove that you've got fangs, and then deal with the Emily situation later.
Yep.
It going with Emily now leaves the door open rather than sticking with Reba 4.
Well, and you might be able to cross over tribal lines to get someone like Emily out because, yeah, you know, she's Lulu.
She's the only Lulu left.
You can, you know, get people to join forces to take out a common enemy if they all see her as the biggest threat.
Julie is the clear and present danger.
So Julie and Dee are going to talk. Julie's a little bit worried that people might come for, like, Drew. Fair. But their plan is to poison the camp against Emily and take her out. That's the plan. Drew, on the other hand, like you mentioned, goes to talk to Jake Gattura about switching things up. Drew's going to seemingly patch things up with Jake in this episode, which is great after the last week. But yeah, Drew wants eventually Dee, Julie, and Emily to go out of the game with Julie going next. Yeah, those seem like three of the best. Three of the four best people, I think. Drew, in my opinion, Drew needs to go to the end with Keturah and, well, I guess we'll get into that later.
Oh, what a tease.
Because mine has changed.
Shocker.
My ranking
has changed. Shocker. I have predictions.
I have predictions, and I think they're wrong.
I agree. But, you know, I've been wrong about this before, though, so.
But that's the plan right now, and I do think Drew's, Dee, Julie, Emily are all huge threats. So Keturah's going to go talk to Austin about taking out Julie, and Austin says, yeah, Julie's probably the biggest Reba threat. His big thing is, well, that is a good move. He's worried about blindsiding Dee in the process, because, you know, showmance, and he thinks that she'll never trust him again. This is why you don't have a showmance on Survivor.
Showmance, but I think he is also talking about just their alliance and voting together as well. And if you're getting rid of one of the members of Reba, you need everyone else to be super solid going forward. Otherwise, they're going to pick off all the big threats, and you're going to be left with Keturah, Jake, and Drew final.
Or at least you need your number one within the four to know about it. So I think Dee is Austin's number one. I think that Austin might be Dee's number one. I think Drew is nobody's number one, but he's kind of the barista of this blindside concoction. And Julie's the target. So I think maybe that's where the inspiration is coming from to tell Dee. I don't hate that he does it because he's also still someone who I think is a fairly big threat, and he needs to make sure that he keeps other threats around long enough for him to be able to hopefully beat them in a physical challenge and then vote them out. I think that's his goal.
I agree.
Austin, big flaw here is he needs to be willing to cut Dee if that's what it takes to win the game, and I don't think he is.
I don't think he is either.
And we'll probably see whether or not he is
eventually.
We'll get a chance.
Emily's going to get back to camp, tells the truth. Julie at least doesn't buy it. But Drew's going to tell Emily, like, hey, Julie's got in for you, so let's take her out.
And by the way, I want to acknowledge this as evidence to Ryan's point earlier about going for it. If you're going to go and then be accused of being guilty of something, you may as well be guilty of it. I still hold that, like, if you look at it and you know you can't solve it, you have to keep your vote and then just deal with the consequences. But this is evidence to Ryan's point. I just want to acknowledge it.
And that was nothing in her reasoning of why she chose not to do it. She didn't mention at all about, like, oh, what are, like, people going to think? Are they going to think that I have something? No, it was completely based on having her vote.
And again, that was a mistake.
To you.
Yep. All right, immunity challenge. And honestly, this is one of my favorite challenges in years.
This is great.
Because it's one of the classic ones where you have to, like, unwrap rope from around a thing, and you have to, like, guess how much rope you need, and then you can run out to the next part of the course. Yeah, they need way more rope than they've ever needed before to actually do this. You get to the end, you got to throw your sandbags at some blocks, knock them over, but then you have to retrieve your sandbags. With the rope still attached. And then once you do all that, you have to solve a puzzle. It's a word scramble, but you have to build it in the shape of an arch, and it's got to be right on both sides because there's some letters that are duplicates, but they have to go in a very specific spot. And it's just like a super brutal, hard challenge, and it's great.
I loved this challenge so much.
I do think the highlight of it for me was Drew standing alone at the end. I'm winning. It was before he won. He's just so far ahead.
Oh my gosh, I'm in first.
Who would have expected the tallest, skinniest, lankiest, most malnourished person to be able to unspool enough rope quicker than literally everybody else?
Yeah, getting over and under all those different things so quickly. That's impressive.
Basile must be a contortionist because I know that Drew couldn't get that done.
But yeah, Drew wins. He gets to bring two people on a barbecue reward. First pick is Jake, which I love the Jake pick because... And you know, this is an instance where the reward is part of the immunity. You got to go for the immunity. So, fine.
Yep. Yes.
Then deal with the reward as best you can. Jake is a great pick because of the fight they had last week. Patch up that fence.
Who knows? Might be able to get a jury vote.
And Austin for guys' night two, because the girls went last time. The guys get to go this time. Perfect.
Guys' night 2.0, bringing it back.
And the girls are targeting each other. This is great. This is a great picks for Drew. Not enough Top Gun. Danger Zone would have been nice.
Yeah, I was hoping for just like a 30-second snippet or 15-second tease, like they're going to do it again. It's okay, though.
Or maybe as they're like having their discussions, it's just really faintly just going on in the background.
Playing with the boys.
Or just instrumental.
Yeah, yeah, perfect. I love it. The girls, they're all plotting against each other, but they're like, yeah, we'll just vote out Jake. That's easy. LOL.
This buff, it's made in Spain.
starts to read laundry tag on buff. We have so much to do.
I'm just reading the laundry tags. And Jake, Drew, and Austin, they're all going to get on the same page. Julie's got to go. Jake's been saying that for a long time. But back at camp, Austin is very hesitant because he doesn't want to like leave Dee out of this. So he is going to tell Dee that the plan is not Emily, but it's Julie. Dee is obviously not happy.
She does take it better than I thought she would. And that's to her credit. She's saying, Austin is, you know, my number one or one of my number ones, because it's Julie and Austin, clearly her two. And she is considering it, and she doesn't blow up. She doesn't really overreact. So given that the conversation has to happen, all parties had it the right way.
The conversation did not have to happen.
Well, I'm drop me in the moment. The conversation is happening. Okay. Everyone handled it well.
Yes. Okay, so this is not advice on Austin to be the next Robin Amber. That's not this. We're not the Love Cast. This is the How to Win Survivor podcast. Austin needs to shut up and blindside Dee to really make this work.
You mean Julie?
Both.
I'm still undecided about this, just because I have no idea what, like, this could have so many negative ramifications to how he might be able to maneuver through the remainder of the game if he blindsides Dee.
I agree.
Because at this point, you know, let's say he does blindside Dee, he has Drew and Emily, and that's it. That's not enough, I don't think. I don't think that's enough to maneuver your way through the rest of the game without getting picked off.
Both Julie and Dee have to go, and Emily. Both of them have to go. Might as well do it. You could do it back to back.
And what's wild is, like, I don't think I agree, because we already talked about how we're going to lose Emily this episode. We also talked about if Julie goes home tonight, we're pretty sure Emily wins the game.
Mm-hmm.
That makes this move by Austin de facto kind of a good move for Austin.
No.
Because if Julie goes home, Austin's road to the end, like Josh elucidated, is much harder. Now, granted, he still has two big threats that he needs to take out, and the number of paths to victory seem to go down. I still think the odds, like the paths remaining, are better paths.
Well, here's the thing, and he didn't handle it this way, so, you know, I'm not going to give him credit for doing this, but what a better way to handle this might have been is to, you know, recognize that you need to take Emily and Julie out for sure in order to win the game. You got the idol still in place, so you can't just be like, nah, we're going Emily tonight. You purposely leak the information to have Julie play her idol, and then Emily goes home. You know, Drew still was able to, you know, have his way and took his shot at Julie, but you know, two birds with one stone. What actually did end up happening, but it's a little bit more purposeful in that way.
If he wants to do this, he needs to go to Julie himself and warn him, and then, you know, make sure he's not the person taken out on the ricochet. The way he handled it was the worst of all worlds.
I just don't see it that way. But I mean, it ends up being kind of a moot point because we're moving on or whatever. But I don't think this was the worst way. I think having Dee as a mediator, because I think that Dee is Julie's number one.
Well, this almost, like, it knocks Austin out of the game.
But you're in the final seven, and if you're in the primary alliance and you are a big threat, almost everything almost knocks you out of the game. So I
but this was needlessly stupid, and it almost knocked him out of the game. And it was made for emotional reasons.
I just really have a hard time putting this as a check in the negative box.
I think it's the easiest check in the world. This is a terrible, terrible move, Ryan, to tell D.
Ryan, you're being like the guy on Reddit right now. You are doubling down, and at best, you have an opinion. You don't have you don't have a strong opinion. You can have a strong opinion, but you shouldn't.
As is, you know, tradition with my opinion on this podcast, I'm gonna say this is basically neutral here, just because the result ended up working out very nicely for Austin, and I do think it would have been a bad thing.
It didn't work out nicely for Austin.
Yeah, Idol's out of the game, yes. And Emily's out of the game,
and he still has his amulet.
Both, yes,
and okay. He kept his relationship Fine. With D.
All of those are good things. You have a really pissed off Julie still in the game.
She has to go home anyways. She's gonna be pissed off being blindsided.
Just saying, you got a really pissed off Julie in the game, and that was avoidable.
You're gonna piss off people at the final seven.
If you blindside D with this entire move, I just think the maneuverability is gonna be so much more up in the air than it is now. I don't think Austin was in a good spot to do really anything here. Once Drew put his foot down and said, we're going to vote for Julie. Jake's already on board. Katara's already on board. Austin really doesn't have a choice here.
Right, correct.
So I think he handled it about as good as he could have, just considering the rest of the game.
Yeah, the ramifications.
So Austin's going to tell D, it doesn't matter who we vote for. I think they have the numbers to dig out Julie. So they could save her by telling her that, you know, there's an idol, but that could bounce back on Austin D's game. They don't want to do that. Cut to D telling Julie about the idol, hey, play your idol. So for D, I don't hate this move for D, because that is one of her closest allies, and she can bounce Emily from the game by doing this. But, she's very insistent, because Julie wants to, hey, maybe I should take out Austin instead, and D says, no, don't do that. He's my number one ally.
No, probably don't do that.
Probably don't say that. It's going to work. She's going to convince Julie to take out Emily. And to be fair, I do think that's the right move for Julie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But before that happens, Julie is going to approach Emily and Jake to make a move. And they're like,
Just plant seeds. I don't mind just sprinkling the seeds in the garden. Just cause chaos.
Basically, she's just gauging reactions.
Yep.
And that's fine.
She's a lawyer.
They end up telling Drew about it. And Drew's like, oh, she knows. Someone screwed up.
She knows. She knows.
And Austin's like, yeah, I told D. And she's like, hey, she probably told Julie. No. Yeah, 100%.
D wouldn't tell her.
I just think Austin was foolish to expect D to not tell Julie. I think that's beyond foolish to expect that. So Austin's like, well, if she plays her idol, I'll play mine, just in case.
Which I would agree with.
So the question is, Julie's playing her idol. Who is she going to take out, Emily or Austin? We're going to go to Tribal Council. Everyone votes for Julie, and we see everyone's votes. I don't know if we've seen... I guess I don't remember because something similar happened in Heroes, Healers, Hustlers. Everyone voted for Ben Dreeberg, and Ben played his idol. I don't know if we were shown all the votes for Ben, though. But this reminded me a lot of Survivor Micronesia, whenever Eric gave up immunity, and we saw all the votes, including Eric's that time. And so we don't see Julie's vote this time, but it was just wild seeing somebody. We never see this many votes. But Julie is going to play her idol. 6 votes for Julie, 1 vote for Emily. Womp womp.
By the way, again, we don't have a single hinky vote out there, except for the person who's getting targeted. Maybe throw out a defensive vote if you're Emily. Maybe do it. If everyone's aware, maybe do it.
She has no reason to expect an idol just because she thinks that Austin has it.
Well, does
she know that Julie has it?
No.
Either way, I don't know. It felt weird to me that there was... another unanimous vote on this season.
When it's this low in numbers, I'm not super surprised that a hinky vote's not out there, just because that can get really complicated.
I think it's what separates the good from the great. You have to recognize when you're in trouble.
Honestly, yeah. Doing the old Devin Pinto. If you hear names out there, just throw a random vote out there. On who? Jake?
Yeah. Yeah, the easy vote.
I'll say D.
Because if you throw it on Jake, then you're being consistent with what you heard in the water with the other girls. Jake is the easy vote. I voted for Jake. Wow, look at all of these people who targeted Julie. Julie, why did you target me?
Yeah, did Emily know about Julie's idol, though?
I don't think so.
I don't know. But Lulu is going to join the dubious rank of the Oolong tribe and the Solana, a.k.a. the Beauty tribe from Kageon, the earliest extinction of a tribe at 7th place. So that kind of begs the question, is Lulu... because it's not the Beauty tribe. You could say it's Matsing, but Malcolm and Denise bounce back. Is Lulu the worst tribe of all time, or is it Oolong? I am going to go ahead and plant my flag and say it's a Lulu.
Ooh.
On the reason being, two quitters.
I think I'm on your side. The thing is, it really, can you define like what it is? Like just worst, like worst, just across the board.
It's almost like saying worst is very subjective.
Yes. So I'll say this. I think from an entertainment perspective, it is the worst of all time, because at least you love to watch Oolong just get decimated into nothingness, just annihilated. Lulu, two of them were genuinely angering, and one of them was like a horrible misplay. So, I mean, I guess Sabaya's boot was pretty hilarious, but yeah,
but a horrible misplay.
But horrible misplay. So,
and Brandon is one of the worst challenge performers of all time.
Yeah.
That leaves Caleb and Emily as the only, like, and Emily would have been out first.
Yes. For good reason.
That leaves, like, Caleb as the one who was fine.
I kind of want to say Oolong just because Lulu at least is so top heavy here with Caleb and Emily. Like, I consider them both, like, now, like, final iteration of Emily.
But
I consider them both to be very good players. You know, Caleb was just a little too obvious, of course. And then Emily, you know, she made it all the way to seven.
You're forcing me to do this then. So you're saying Caleb plus Emily is greater than Bobby John and Stephanie V 1.0. Because I'm being very careful to describe it like
that.
Slam
dunk, yes. In terms of ability to play the game, yes.
Another really interesting caveat. This is a three-tribe season. Oolong did this...
with nine people.
In a two-tribe season.
Yeah, Oolong was nine, Lulu was six.
So, in terms of performance...
I mean, that's almost like, more damning to Oolong, isn't
like,
it?
I think Oolong takes the cake for worst performance across the board.
But Oolong, I think, technically had more wins.
And also, like, because worst is such a random definition... so open-ended. I'm going to say that Lulu is worse. I mean, you got two quitters.
I think Lulu is the worst tribe of all time.
If it wasn't for the quitters, I would say Oolong.
Yeah, I think so.
But, you know, we have two quitters.
That's 33%.
Yeah, it's bad. It's real bad. And Oolong had maybe won, and that's because he got injured with Jeff. But was this the right move? Did the right person go home? And this is kind of tricky because... everyone votes for Julie, and I think we can say Julie was like a good person to take out for everyone. Julie was probably going to win if she doesn't get taken out. But Julie plays an idol. She's got an idol. She plays it, and she gets to pick who she goes home. So really the question is, did Julie pick the right person to go home? I think, yeah. I think Emily is the other biggest threat.
Yeah, it's weird because, you know, on top of Josh's Jane Downs this week for the very first time was Emily, you know. Congratulations, you were there for one whole week. I hope it was fun.
It's lonely at the top.
So, if you're just looking at that, it was a good move for Julie, and I think Emily was actually the right move for the majority of people remaining, and it probably should have been Emily instead of Julie even before all this madness goes down. It works out really well for everyone because Emily goes home and an idol gets burned. You know, I think some people in that situation got a little lucky, but you know, if you take just like a few steps back, I think that Emily probably would have been a better person to go home for most of the people, not all, but most.
I think exactly the correct thing happened tonight. Exactly. I think Drew correctly apprised where he's at in Reba and realized, nope, I need to make a move now, not later, now. It needs to be now. He had the conversation with Jake and Katura. He made nice with Jake about it. Perfect. He brought in his number one, Austin, and let Austin know, like, hey, we're doing this with or without you. I think this was good. I think Austin, knowing that Julie still has an idol, goes to D and expresses the fact that, like, hey, this train is going to keep on rolling without us. I'm telling you because I want you in the loop. Do this information what you will. As Josh said earlier, he's in a bad position. I think I agree with Josh. He did the best thing he could. D, wanting to keep her number one and a good secondary threat, a shield for her, because they talked about, oh, D's threat level is diminishing. I think that's by design. I think she wants that. But this flushes Julie's idol and takes out the only person who I think truly threatened on a jury vote D and Julie's position, which is Emily. Everything that happened was the best thing that anybody could have done at this exact moment. It was flawless execution in the game. Like, it's a flawless result.
I agree across the board with one exception.
I know you say that Austin shouldn't have told D anything. He should have maybe gone straight to Julie. That like, yeah. is something. But I don't mind telling the person to let them make the decision, and then you keep the trust with D, and then whatever happens, at least he has the D channel open. So anyway, I think it was a flawless result.
I wonder if Austin goes directly to Julie and leaks the information. You know, she plays the idol, and then, you know, Emily goes home. Same result. But I wonder if that scenario happens if Austin loses Drew's trust going forward.
Or loses Julie's trust, because she's like, why are you coming to me? Like, why are you telling me to play my idol?
You know, Austin was going to lose somebody's trust no matter what if you're going to do this, but I think the way, the avenue he chose put him at the most risk of going home. I think Austin has lost Julie's trust, but to be fair,
and Drew,
everyone has lost Julie's trust except D. but yeah, I think and the way Austin went, he loses someone's trust, which is inevitable, but he put himself at risk unnecessarily.
So and here's the thing, I think losing Julie's trust is better than losing someone like Drew's possibly. Trust, just because, you know, depending on who you're at the end with. I think, you know, Julie might be a little bit tougher to get a vote from compared to Drew.
What did Twitter have to say?
93% of Twitter said no.
No.
The wrong person went home.
They all love it, Emily.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Sorry, Twitter, you're wrong.
Twitter, you're way too sure of yourself on this one. This doesn't make any sense.
Who are you, Ryan?
Ryan is Twitter confirmed. I asked the universe to manifest Twitter in person form, and they gave me Ryan as a friend.
Overly confident, probably shouldn't be, continues to do so anyway. Now, all that said, I'm right. All right, let's get into best worst player of the episode. I'll start us off. My best player is going to be D, because I think her social bond with Austin was so strong that Austin made a bad move and told her this information so she could do what she wanted with it. I don't love that she said, Austin's my number one ally to Julie, but she told Julie to play the idol and got Julie to target the person she wanted. You know, Julie's definitely in there, and I was really struggling, like, who is better, Julie or D? I just think D had a little more control over the vote and helped her position more. I think D's in a really good spot going forward. So D is my best player.
I agree 100%. I got nothing else to add.
I struggled with this because I don't think anyone played fantastic here this episode. Everyone had flaws. I kind of wanted to give it to Julie, but, you know, most of the information just came to her rather than her acting on it. Like, yeah, it's very obvious. Play the idol and then just choose someone. And she chose correctly. But I can't give it to D either, because I really don't like how she just handled, like you said, saying, like, Austin's my number one. And, she, you know, there's also that alternate reality where she could have let Julie just get blindsided. I'm still not sure if that would have been good for her game or not long term. I'm going to give it to Drew here, because he took a shot. He recognizes that he needs to make a move, and he gathered, you know, the bottom dwellers here to at least take a shot. And if it wasn't for Austin having his discussion with D, it would have worked. So I'm going to give it to him.
Yeah, I'll give out Drew an honorable mention as well, just because he did everything right. Austin blew it. How about worst player? Derek, what do you got?
I have none.
Okay. I kind of figured you were going to do that.
I probably spoiled it. I spoiled the game because I said, am I really doing this? I said it out loud because
that's not where I got it.
I wanted to plant seeds, but I'm gonna go with NA, because I think exactly the perfect thing happened, and there were so many different directions that it could have gone, but somehow everybody's game got better today. I mean, after this episode is done, everybody left is one step closer to winning, and that is incredibly rare with so many people left. The bottom people all came together and shot their shot. They flushed, they got an idol flushed, whether they knew that they were doing it or not. At least the idol is gone, and they still are many. They still have that ability if they want to do it.
They are Legion.
Austin keeps as much trust as he could have feasibly. D keeps as much trust as she could have feasibly. Julie is still in the game and gets to live to fight another day. And Emily, we all agreed, was a big threat to win because of the jury makeup and the Lulu underdog story. I can't in good conscience give this to anyone. Maybe everyone has one little ding, but I can't.
Everyone's net positive at the very least.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Okay. That's, I wonder, you know, I want to go back and like figure out what is the earliest of us have given out like a worst player of the episode. Like, what is like, this is what are we at, the final seven?
Yeah.
Is there an earlier time one of us has not given out a worst
player? That's pretty tough to beat. I don't know if we'd find one.
Yeah, I maybe we should have kept listeners, the spreadsheet.
Go back and listen to literally every podcast we've ever done and tell us.
We have the rewinds out there. Go for it.
That's your homework.
Get back to us.
And what's wild, though, is neither of you immediately started pushing back on me, which is like, which is crazy.
It's not my turn yet. So
yeah, I'm not going to super push back on it. I didn't even think about it as a possibility, if I'm going to be honest, just because we're so far out right now. But I did have Emily as my number one on my Jankdown. So, you know, that it's good for everyone that she goes home. I said that it was perfectly fine the way that Austin handled this, but I'm still going to give him the worst player of the episode just because I think out of everyone, he got put in the worst spot. And yeah, it wasn't completely, you know, his fault. You know, a lot of this was going to happen whether he liked it or not. There's possibilities out there to where he could have gone directly to Julie. I don't know if that would have been better for him to do compared to what he did here. Yeah, I still like the conversation that he had with D. I think overall he handled it about as good as he could have, but I think just like how he's sitting now compared to, you know, before the episode started, I feel like almost have to by default give it to Austin.
I'm giving it to Austin because I hate that he told D. Of the choices that were presented as options in this episode, I think he made the worst one. So yeah, Austin's my worst.
For your consideration, this is for listeners, Ryan, for your consideration, Josh, I know you're probably out on this one because of situation. Why not make it Drew? Why not make Drew the worst of the episode? Because yes, he gathered the bottom feeders. He recognized where he was in terms of like needing to break up Reba. Why did he tell Austin?
Because I think they were on reward together. That's his closest ally.
But why tell Austin? If you're talking about like, oh, that's his closest ally, D is Austin's closest ally, and you're saying he's the worst player for doing that. Drew had the numbers. If you want to blindside somebody, it's a need-to-know situation, and Austin didn't need to know.
Technically, can Drew trust Jake?
No, but Drew has no choice. Drew has absolutely no options if he wants to win this game.
Drew can, yes, but Drew 5 is better than 4 in this case. I'm not going to give it to Drew because I think Drew did everything right.
I'm following the chain of events. Drew tells Austin. Austin tells D. D tells Julie. Julie plays her idol. Emily goes home.
Yep.
Who started this chain of unnecessary in terms of like what it takes to get something done?
I don't agree. Austin blew it.
I'm still throwing out an NA because it's a net positive for everyone, but just words to ponder for the listeners.
Mine is Austin.
As I gave Drew the best player of the episode.
That's why I was not trying to appeal to you.
Yeah. All right, let's get into who is going next. Josh, final six. Who's going next?
I think it just makes too much sense that it'd be Julie here. And, you know, she's vulnerable now. And even if, you know, she has herself in D, I think everyone else could be firing at her. Apparently, she is the biggest threat in the game. You know, we were surprised last episode about how big of a threat she might be. You know, she made it up to, I believe, number 4 on my Jankdowns. Spoiler alert, she might be up at number 1 now.
Yeah, she's my number 1 now.
By no other means but just what people are saying. So it would make the most sense, you know, to take out the number 1 threat in Emily, followed by the number 1 threat in Julie. And, you know, you just keep working your way down the list. And, you know, from the other big threats perspective, you know, Austin and D, yeah, you guys might be vulnerable, but she has to go at some point. She can't make it to the end. And if she's good at fire, you can't let her make it to fire making.
I agree completely. I think it's Julie.
I also had Julie.
Okay. Last thing, who can't win this game? I have the same as last week. I think it's Keturah and Drew. I do want to note that, you know, I like to figure out who are the three people at the bottom of this, like, pecking order, who can win. And I think those three should work together. I think Austin's fallen to third. I think the bottom three are Austin, Keturah, and Drew now. I think Austin hurt his game a little bit tonight. I think, and I'm higher on Jake than you guys, but my current rank down, just for interest's sake, I think, is Julie at number 1. I have Jake at number 2. D's 3.
What?
Austin is 4. Keturah is 5. Drew is 6, and I moved Keturah up past Drew because I think Drew's going to tank himself next week based on the preview. But here's what I'm looking at with Jake. Caleb, best buds. Kelly, Kendra, Bruce, all bellow, all like Jake. Emily, question mark.
She said she's going to vote for the best player, which isn't going to be Jake.
Eh, it depends on
I'm
how
just,
the end
I'm just, I'm just no saying chance. It doesn't matter.
I don't think Emily will vote for Jake, very likely, but, you know. And then, you know, Keturah likes Jake. Yeah, so I think Jake can do this thing.
I'm going to say it again, and I feel like I'm going to say it every single week until the finale, until Final Tribal, because he's going to be brought to the end, but Jake is Owen. Jake is Owen.
I like watching YouTube. Is this what it's like to not be in a fight?
I do not understand it. Just so the listeners know, I put together the graphic every single week for the power rankings, and every single time I'm just flabbergasted by it because I have to edit the photos on it, and I go bottom to top, so it's always like, oh, Katara, all right, you don't have to change, and then it's always, you know, someone else, and it's always thrown off because Jake's at the bottom of my rankings, Derek's rankings, and our listener average rankings, and then there he is at spot number 3, or apparently now spot number 2,
it's up to 2.
For absolutely no reason, just because he's likable. The only reason why someone will win the game purely because they're likable and, you know, not having any sort of strategy or challenge threat is if other people in the game aren't likable.
If there's a Russell, a true to like dead to rights Russell.
But we have a lot of likable people on this cast. It would have to be Jake, Drew, and Katara for him to have a shot. And even then, I think Drew beats him. I just don't understand it.
It makes perfect sense.
I like watching.
And I can't wait until I'm proven right once again.
So, anyway, the Katara and Drew are the two who cannot win this game. That stays the same, ultimately. Derek?
I'm standing pat with last week, and honestly, because Emily went home this week, I'm not sticking a fork in anybody else. So my two can't win are Katara and Jake, but I think with Reba still being 4 strong and Emily going home here, that fork is still stuck deep into Drew. I think he cannot win.
Yeah, mine aren't changing. It's still Katara and Jake. And I think this episode proved that if Drew somehow finagles his way into the end to make it with Jake and Katara, that he could potentially win. Because in that scenario, you got a lot more Reba over there, and the cannibalization has already started to where I don't think you'd have anyone who's bitter from Reba. I think they'd be pretty understanding at this point. You know, yeah, they'd be upset, but once it comes down to it, I think that they'd rather vote for someone like Drew who's able to take them out versus Jake who's just likable.
I don't know. I think Julie might end up being bitter. I don't know. It's the read I get.
Julie might be bitter. I think we're
bitter
set up
in the moment.
I think we're set up for an Austin. He's going to need to make a choice, D or Drew, and I think he's going to choose D.
Oh, what a terrible decision. See, I think that we could be set up for like an Austin, Drew, and, you know, third person who can't win.
Katara.
Like a Katara or a Jake.
Which would be hilarious because was it not episode one where Drew was saying, you need to have that JT Fishbach combo. You need to find yours.
Oh yeah. And then this is gonna be our payoff.
Does he realize how that season ended? Does he realize which one he is?
We got confirmation from him again this episode saying, like, you know, it's me and Austin, and the way he was wording it, like, basically like, well, we can go up against each other and who knows who's gonna win.
That's exactly what Steven Fishbach would say.
Yep.
Like, here's the difference. Drew, you're so good at apprising the situation, but here it is. If we both get to the end, who wins? It's a toss-up. Austin's thinking, if we go to the end together, I win. That's the difference.
Yep.
That's the
that's the JT right there.
That separates the good from the great.
All right. Social media.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Castaway Pod, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook is Castaway Consultants. We have a website, which is thecastawayconsultants.com. Check out all of our stuff. It's a grand old time. Like I said, we post all of our power rankings and whatnot, and you can submit those to us on any of our DMs or, you know, replying to any of our tweets, posts, whatever it might be, and Derek will do something super fancy with it.
Yep, and then over on Spotify, please interact with our threat rank down. So send us your list. The homework is getting easier because we have fewer people. You only have 6 names to think about, and frankly, some of them shouldn't actually be that hard anymore. But for the question that I posted from last week, I asked, can anyone from original Bello still win the game? And it's actually the most number of poll votes we've ever received, which is really cool. 40% said yes, and 60% said no. So that's kind of fun. And actually, I rounded, so it's more like 35-65%, which
pretty
is
close
pretty,
to this.
Pretty close to how we settle on this podcast. So I thought that was really fun. So apparently you guys are in the Ryan camp, the Josh, and the Josh and Derek camp. So keep watching for those.
Yeah, and if you did not see our listener average and our power rankings that were posted today, the listener average did have D at the number one spot going into this week, and their bottom two people were Drew and Katara. But Jake was third.
That's okay for people to be wrong.
Third from the bottom.
Third from the bottom, yes.
Okay.
All right, anything else, guys?
I don't think so.
I think that's it.
All right. Well, we're getting to the end. It's exciting. I'm really pumped to see what happens next. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This has been the Castaway Consultants.
Got nothing else for you.
Good night.